Good evening and welcome to a special broadcast brought to you by the Government Communication and Information System, the GCIS. My name is Neo Budumela, and this evening we will be discussing the prevention of physical and sexual violence on older persons. This as South Africa commemorates Social Development Month. South Africa, as with other countries in the world, has an aging population. This means that the proportion of older persons in the country is increasing. It calls for a concerted effort towards protecting and strengthening the capacity of older persons in our society. Older people in our nation play an important role to advise, direct, and lead families and communities. Their experience and knowledge is critical in building communities and strengthening our nation. We must work to ensure that they have a more meaningful role in society, to enjoy active aging and healthy and independent living by creating an enabling environment for all older persons. Moreover, we must work to ensure that older persons are protected. South Africa, we do know that we are still confronted with unacceptably high numbers of GBVF cases. And unfortunately, older persons are also victims of this crime. The National Strategic Plan on GBVF calls for the eradication and protection of GBVF on vulnerable groups such as women, children, persons with disabilities, the LGBTQI+ community, and the elderly. So today, in line with the Social Development Month, we wish to bring a spotlight to the protection of our elders against GBVF. We want to have a meaningful conversation about the realities that the elders can sometimes face. So please contribute to this very important conversation by sending your questions to our WhatsApp line on 065-935-5488. That's 065-935-5488, or call into the studio at 012-342-8248. That's 012-342-8248 or 012-342-8272. From the type of social ills that they are confronted with, how should we protect elder people from these ills? What are the signs we should be looking out for? And most importantly, how can we use their next of kin and members of society to assist and intervene if we suspect that something is not right with them? Tonight, I will be joined by experts from the Department of Social Development and the South African Police Service. These are from Social Development, Bathembu Fuchane, and Major General Litege from South African Police Service. Good evening.
Good evening.
Bathembu, let me start with you. Just as an opener, can you tell us about Social Development Month, why it is important that we observe this month, and what are government-planned programs for this month?
Thank you so much, Anel, and good evening also to your listeners. Social Development Month has been set aside by our government to ensure that we observe how we are delivering services to the most vulnerable and the poorest. We observe this on an annual basis. We shared this month with the Department of Transport. Mm-hmm. Our main focus each month is around older persons programs. Mm. We have an active aging program, which I'll speak to later. Mm. But for this particular month, we have also decided to focus on other elements of those that we do. Mm-hmm. Part of our focus was around alcohol and the abuse of substances. Mm-hmm. Part of our focus was around gender-based violence. As a matter of fact, over the past 2 days, we're hosting Shelter in Daba, one of the programs that we provide for victims of gender-based violence. Part of our program was around NPOs and how we are supporting them. Mm-hmm. But also the role that they are playing in being taken advantage of for situations of terrorism funding. Mm. By hostile and foreign elements. And the last part is what we always do in October, which is active aging campaign. Mm. The active aging campaign essentially is a program that we run where we're trying to assist the elderly once they've reached advanced age to still maintain an active lifestyle, mm-hmm. Which is conducive to their health and their well-being. So each time in October, we have a week we dedicate just to them, and we invite the elderly from all the provinces,
mm-hmm.
And they play games, and they share experiences together for a week.
Mm.
And that's a culmination of work that we do over the course of the year in each of the provinces around the active aging campaign. The other elements, I think it's important, gender-based violence, I know that's one of the key areas. As I said, we've just come from the shelters in Durban, where we're just deliberating about, because also the elderly are also victims of gender-based violence. And so one of the things that we're trying to do is to say, as we're building shelters that are supposed and that we want to protect those that are vulnerable and abused,
mm-hmm.
how do we ensure that these shelters become multifaceted, multi-skilled, homely professional services? The perception, obviously, usually is that shelters are almost like a throwaway.
Yeah.
And we don't want that to persist. We want people to know that that's a place that you can go to get help.
Mm.
And it's particularly important for the elderly because at their advanced ages, there's very few dedicated services that are dedicated for them, where they are made to feel at home. And it's not a clinical, it's not a clinical environment that feels alien to them because they are accustomed to their homes.
Mm.
They are accustomed to the warmth of their home. So we want to bring the same element to these shelters.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll end it there for now.
Mm. And today we're talking about the protection of older persons in particular. When we refer to someone who is elderly, what is the age group that we are looking at?
Well, it's the legal age group, which is essentially from the age of 60.
Mm.
Between 60 and 65.
Mm-hmm.
That is the common legal designation for an elderly person. But I guess, you know, advancement in age is not strict to, you know, that age group. For economic reasons, people age quicker. For reasons of health, people age quicker.
Sure.
People become vulnerable quicker because of those reasons. And so they need support quicker. But the official reason, the official age is 60, and that's where our programs officially begin to assist. But we are aware that you might be younger than 60, but be in need of the same services, whether it's because of your advancement in age or health or vulnerability because of economic reasons.
Mm-hmm. And how can we, when we define abuse of an elderly person, what is that? How do we define that?
There isn't a unique definition for elderly abuse, but there are particular areas of concern. Abuse generally, and I'm speaking very broadly,
mm-hmm.
We can classify into physical, emotional, and economic or financial. Of course, we can get particular about GBV and those kind of things, you know. However, the elderly become more vulnerable because of the advanced age. That advanced age also brings areas of poor wellness in terms of their health, but also economically they're no longer active. So they are more dependent on the state and other people to support them. So whatever abuse that they are enduring becomes more pronounced. But the other element is that as much as they are vulnerable economically or health-wise, they are also taking the role of being parents, parents to their grandchildren. And so they've got this dual role and this dual vulnerability that they've got the responsibility of leading these grandchildren and looking after these grandchildren. And because of the economic situation in the country now, with the level of unemployment we have, even their own children are dependent on them. And that very same person also has, you know, these limitations in terms of their health because their age is advancing. Their income is no longer the same because now they're elderly, they are retired or they are resigned or whatever. So therefore, the abuse for them is much more pronounced. But again, historically, particularly for the African population, spatial design is such that they are located in peri-urban and rural areas. Which puts them distant from urban areas where most of them help sources usually are available. It takes longer to get to town, you know, just to get to a clinic. It takes longer to get to town just to go and buy food at ShopRite or Boxer. It takes longer to get to town to be helped in an emergency. So their abuse therefore becomes pronounced, whether the abuse is financial or sexual or physical or emotional, in whatever sense, it's much more pronounced and therefore requires an elevated level of care because of that.
And, you know, Batembu, in terms you spoke about, very briefly, you mentioned sexual abuse of older persons. And we don't often talk about it. We don't often talk about it, mostly because sometimes the elderly themselves don't report it. I remember many years ago, I read a story about an elderly woman who was so sexually abused over a long period of time that she had, her womb had actually prolapsed. And it only took, it took the community stepping in. And she was living with her, her children and her grandchildren, obviously, but it took the community to step in. What do you have to say to the stigma around, I think it's a stigma, around actually reporting things like sexual abuse in the elderly?
In terms of the Older Persons Act, our Director General and HODs in provinces have got primary responsibility to receive reportage of abuse, especially sexual abuse, assisted by our social workers in all of the areas. Some of them are working with Meme Hwen in the SAPS. And the idea is, there's also a stigma around, unfortunately, around the police service, especially because there's a police station. There was an attempt. I know it's an unfortunate stigma because the police station is also a place of safety. So it shouldn't be like that.
But an attempt maybe is Major General, you can come in there with regards to policing and the stigma around policing. People are sometimes afraid. Or they feel like, if I go to the police, what are they going to do anyway? Nothing is going to happen. Can you speak to that, Major General?
Thank you. Thank you, Neo. Now, regarding the reporting at the police station, like Temba have said, that all the cases must be reported at the police station. The issue of the stigma is there, but I can assure the community that even when sometimes you get confronted with those kind of situation, that's not how the police or the front line has been trained. We've got trained police officers that are seated there. There are seniors that are in charge. Every shift, there are seniors that are in charge of the shift. And should someone go to the police station and feel that maybe the police officer that was helping could not help or can't help, it is always better to ask who is in charge of the shift, and the complaint must, or the dissatisfaction must, always go to that person. And in the absence of that person, or if even that person cannot assist, the officer in charge of the visible policing is also always there. You'll find Most of the police station, you'll find the contact number of the station commander, the person responsible for visible policing, the detective commander, the support head. You'll always find those numbers in the CSC. But it's an instruction and it's an obligation from the SAPS that no one must be turned away from the police station when those people go and report the cases. And this is regardless of the case. But I know we are focusing on elderly abuse now. Whoever that is coming, because that person might be coming to the police station to report on behalf of the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the obligation as stated in the Constitution and the SAPS Code of Conduct that all the people must be assisted as such.
Mm.
And any dissatisfaction must be reported accordingly.
And in terms of, perhaps you wouldn't have the number off your head, Major General, but how prevalent is the reporting of the abuse of elderly abuse, rather, in stations?
I can say the abuse of our elderly, it's something that is happening.
Mm.
But the reports are not coming as we are expecting.
Mm.
It's just unfortunate that some of the communities knows
yeah.
about these things.
Mm. Yeah.
We've got neighbors. Mm. And when we talk rural areas, we normally say life it's open.
Mm.
You are able to see your neighbor almost every day.
Mm.
Unlike in urban areas where sometimes you don't even know who's staying next door.
Mm.
And when you don't see that person, you're supposed to be worried.
Mm.
I did not see this person. And when you see this person looks, what Mara Nkhono, she is always dirty. Mara Nkhono is like Nkhono Wakula. And there's no one that is visiting Nkhono Kapantate Moholo. And we know Nkhono is supposed to be taking treatment. And for some time, we haven't seen the elderly going out maybe to get medication or any car coming in, you know, to provide. And Nkhono or Ntate Moholo is staying with a lot of children. We haven't seen the mothers of these children. And that's where the questions comes from. And that tells you something it is not right.
Mm-hmm.
And there, as communities, that's where we need to approach and see how best we can, as even just to call, but social development, it's like something in this house is not right. Just for a visit, someone, social worker, will be able to see, or even the police themselves, just to say, but we are not happy about the circumstances. We don't know Nkhono, when she comes back from to get the grant, she can't even look after herself. Always it's food for these children. And that's where the abuse is coming from. Or the lot of visit just only after the grant is being paid out.
Mm.
And then after all, everyone is away. When the grant time approaches, then there is a lot of visitors. So that's how one can be able to detect and make sure that those things are reported. Here I'm talking about the appearance and what, and then coming to sexual abuse, it also happens, and we are still having our elders that are shy. It's an embarrassment to say
that is true.
This boy next door slept with me, or my grandson, or whoever, someone within the family, because it will always be someone that knows that the elderly staying there. She is staying with the grandchildren, and no one will see. It starts small and it gets, and then you'll see the withdrawal also. Then the interaction with the neighbors start to, you know, go down, and that's when all these things are happening. And unfortunately for that one, someone need to speak out to say, but or even to see this person that is always there, or when I'm, why are you always? Mm. You know, there are a lot of things that can can be hazards for you to be able to see or something. Something here is not going well.
And Batimbu, in a little bit, I want us to speak about the grants specifically and what Major General just alluded to regarding the abuse of the grants, and by extension, the abuse of the elderly. But we do have a question on our WhatsApp line. Good evening. My name is James Sietelo from Nuclear in Johannesburg. I am listening via Coffee FM. My question, what programs or interventions does the Department of Social Development have within old age homes or retirement centers in making sure that the senior citizens are taught about ways of dealing with such incidents of abuse?
Well, I think let me start by saying that we've got two ways of assisting the elderly. It's what we call home-based care, which is where we are providing, through social workers, services at the home of the elderly person, and then the other one is residential based care or community based care, and one of those categories are old age homes. Old age homes firstly register with the department to provide services to the elderly, so that we know who's providing the service. That's the first line of protection, that we need to know who's providing the service to the elderly. And within those old age homes, the professionals therein are the ones who are tasked with providing all types of services for them, including the identification and supporting of them where they are being abused, also ensuring that there's also health professionals where it's necessary, and where required, ensuring that SAPS is brought in, especially where the abuse happens outside of the old age home and then it is only discovered when she's in the old age home. But the professionals are there for that within DSD, through social workers, to ensure that those things are understood, those things are discovered, and those things are properly dealt with in the old age home. So the old age home, or rather the residential care facility, that's what we call it, is again a multifaceted, multi-skilled environment that's supposed to give, and that gives older persons a holistic supporting service, so that they are not left in their vulnerable anymore. Yeah.
And we also have a voice note. Go ahead.
Thobela Mogashi le batheleji ke madimetsa ka Molimpopo ke theleji Selma sa Blueback FM. I feel that the government and the communities are not doing well in terms of preventing the abuse that these old people go through in our communities. I just think there is a need for a continuous awareness at a broader scale, because some of the perpetrators walk away with these abuses all the time. On the other hand, our grannies do not also have a recourse in terms of reporting these abuses. They do not have any support structures, be it from the government, be it from the NGOs and the communities in general, which is why, Mogashi, most often you find that these cases go unpunished, and they keep on repeating themselves over the years. So we need some kind of, you know, strict awareness in terms of that, so that we can be able to resolve this kind of problems.
Good evening, everyone, presenters as well as our listeners. My name is Mpashi Samuel, based in Limpopo Province, Blueback Municipality. I'm also a great supporter of Blueback FM. Let me share with you frustrations and abuse experienced by our grannies. This also escalating into another pandemic, financial abuse. This is prevalent when grannies have to collect their monthly allowances. They wake up early in the morning, travel long distances between their homes and the shopping complex where the banks are. On arrival, they are subjected to long queues under very harsh conditions, hot summer days, cold winter temperatures, or even rainy days. They are also exposed to crime activities when they are there. They have been robbed of their monies, they have been scammed. And again, when they get back home with those monies, they, or even the cards, they are becoming targets, either by their children or even their grandchildren. I've got some few suggestions here. I think the government can consider establishing pay points, cluster villages that are closer together, wherein they will establish, they will build some shelters for them, and they get helped when they are there. The government should also consider establishing post offices for the sole purpose of administering these grants for our grannies. And when they are there, they should also consider beefing up manpower so that our grannies can get assisted in the shortest possible time. Sometimes it would be helpful if they could get rid of the cars for the sole purpose of preventing our grannies to be targets by either scammers, grandchildren, and so on, and make use of their fingerprints when they get their allowances. In that way, I think we can win the race. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you.
Batsofadi ba rena, especially ba bomme or bona bagekolo, ba šiwa le ditlogolo le bana ba ditlogolo ba sa fiwe tšhelete ya go ba tlhokomela, ebile ba tseelwa dikarata tša bona tša mphua fela. Ke nngwe e le goreng ke bona le di-challenge tše re di faceng ka mo line ya rena sena ba rwana. Ke re ao a mmušo o tseng tšheletsogo batsofadi ba rena ba tlhokomela.
Okay. But Tembu, I think maybe these questions are more directed at you.
Mm-hmm.
The call for more awareness, I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. In terms of mm-hmm. making people aware of what elderly abuse is,
yeah.
and what it actually does to an elderly person mm-hmm. to abuse them. And secondly, the question regarding the distant pay points mm-hmm. from DSD and the caller, I think, called it another financial abuse. Any ideas, maybe, of alternative ways of payment for our elderly? Are there, and also, secondly, are there like mobile pay points for far flung areas?
It's not an easy question to answer. I'll be honest. As a department, together with SASSA. And the post office, we are there's work being done to try and bridge the distances. The distances are a major point of concern. We know there are instances where the elderly would spend up to 400 rands on a return trip, either to go to a SASSA office or to go to a post office pay point or a post bank pay point at this point in time, because post office has reduced the number of posts they have. Unfortunately for now, and that's what we're all trying to work on, post bank has got a fixed footprint that they really need to work on. And work is being done between SASSA and post bank to try and look at ways. One of the things that we're doing now that is being done is that we're also renewing the cards that we've used to increase the security around those cards that are carrying the money for the grannies, to try and make it more secure for them and protect them some more. But I'm honestly not able to speak extensively on that work. But it's something that I hear it very well from the listener, and I'll be making sure to share it with the colleagues at SASSA. It is a matter of serious concern. I mean, another area is also the fact that grannies sometimes get turned away. And the unintended consequences that to avoid being turned away, they wake up earlier to get there earlier. And sometimes they sleep over overnight, and that's where they're exposed to the elements, either the heat or the cold. So those are areas that we're very, very concerned about, especially as a department. And we are constantly engaging SASSA and Postbank to try and see that they really work on that physical footprint that Postbank has and extend it.
Now, if you also want to join in on the conversation, please send a WhatsApp to 065-935-5488, 065-935-5488, or call into our studio line at 012-342-8248. That's 012-342-8248 or 012 0800-342-8272. Major General, I want us to start speaking about the law, what the law says about elderly abuse. Are there any laws which govern the protection of elders, and who can go and abuse and report this abuse?
Thank you. Now, there are legislative framework that governs the protection of the elderly. But Tembu did indicate, he did spoke about the Protection of Older Persons Act, yes. That gives an obligation to the society to make sure that the abuse is being reported, and if not, what are the consequences?
Yeah.
And secondly, we are having Domestic Violence Act.
Mm.
Also, that in itself, it gives the mandate to whoever that happens to know about the abuse to report. We are not expecting our elderly to help themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
And as communities, where we can, it is our responsibility as communities to make sure that we report on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
We report on their behalf, and we can also apply for protection order on their behalf, mm-hmm. because they are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Others are ashamed. They are afraid. Because always they are being threatened. Should you call the police or should you talk about it? I'm going to kill you.
Mm.
Or you know.
Mm.
So those are that is the mandate that we are having as a nation.
Mm. Mm.
That's the mandate that we are having as a nation to make sure that the rights of our elderly are not being infringed.
Mm.
It's upon us as communities. And to those ones that cannot stand for themselves, we are their mouth. We can speak for them. And we can act for them. And we are already having cases where I know most of us will know, previously we saw videos going viral where our elderly were assaulted and when you see a video going viral, that incident did not start that day.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It has been going on and on and on. It's just unfortunate that our communities, who knows, will not go immediately.
Mm.
They just wait until they feel, but this is not.
Mm.
Because the perpetrators, they do in front of other people, they feel big or they want to show off until someone feels sorry. But this cannot go on like this. We were feeling bad, all of us, looking at that, because those are the cases that are coming to me. And I will get instruction, Lekhele, try to locate where is this video. We must get the perpetrators. So that's the work that we'll do as SAPS, to try to find where did the incident happen? Was there case opened? And if there is a case opened, is there a protection order in place? And if not, we need to make sure that the case is reported, the elderly is being removed, and the protection order is there to protect the elderly going forward. So that is the status of the SAPS and the stand that we are taking in making sure that our elderly are protected. We are having the units, family violence, child protection and sexual offences with the cases of sexual abuse. And those are the things that we are dealing with. We are having the detectives that are dealing with domestic violence itself. And where we also find that there is an abuse of monies and what, we do report, and we are also having several successes whereby people were found with a lot of SASSA cards and those people were arrested because that's where the money goes. So those are our actions in terms of making sure that our elderly are being protected.
And I think maybe as a question to both of you, where do we report? If I see Nkhono next door is being abused, where do I go and report? What number do I call? And if I'm afraid to go to the police, maybe what is the number for social development that I can call? Maybe starting with you, Major General.
For the SAPS, all the incident, you will report to the nearest police station.
Okay.
You will report to the nearest police station, and or as a person maybe that wants to give information.
Yeah.
We are having My Subs app. My Subs app, you will drop the tip off as to this is what is happening, and the information will be followed up to make sure that whoever is the victim is being assisted. We also have our communities that are having cell phones, that are on WhatsApps. I know my number is on the internet. I get calls across the country. And every time, except for the police station, except for people calling, you will get a person giving the complaint, and all that happens is just to check where is the person calling from so that you can link up that person with the officers at that particular area. And the 10111 is always our number also in making sure that we are also having the GBV helpline where people must also phone and report this kind of abuse.
And from your side, Batembo?
Similar with us, as we said earlier, social workers are all mandated to ensure that the elderly abuse is stopped. So at any DSD, social development office, they can report it. They can report it with any HOD in any province or even the Director General at Social Development. You can report either directly with the older person or through another person who is identified or has observed the abuse. But you also have what is called the TAFTA Elder Abuse Helpline. The number there is 0800
yes.
10 11 10. It's a toll-free line, which the way also they can go and report the abuse. And also in areas where we've got residential facilities that I spoke to earlier, or so-called older persons' homes, even there they can go. And as Major General has said, and police stations and other facilities, including what Major General, the FCS facilities, I believe, can also be reported there. So we've tried to give as much of a spread as is possible. We also want to say in the rural areas, traditional authorities.
Yes.
Traditional authorities also are areas and centers where people can go, particularly because, as Major General was saying, that there's also vulnerability and threats that come with reporting. And so those traditional authorities are also places of safety where the elderly or elderly abuse can be, you know, can be reported, because those are also respected spaces.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you heard it first. report any elderly abuse that you witness or that you see or that you suspect to the police on the My SAPS app on your phone. Go to the nearest police station or call 10111. Otherwise, you can call the helpline on 0800 10 11 10. 0800 10 11 10. We do have a few questions. Great show. May I please check how often does the department visit the old age homes? I'm asking because of what has recently trended from Limpopo in Tzaneen that has that's an old age home that has been shut. Mm. How often do you go and check?
Social workers that specialize in this area are mandated to visit as often as possible in a given month. I can't say there's a schedule, and the schedule is, you know, once a week or once a month. But we've got dedicated professional social workers whose responsibility it is to look after older person services and to act as liaison between the department and the older person's homes. And they have a responsibility to visit those and interact with them as often as possible on a monthly basis. But where that visitation is insufficient, obviously we'd want to invite South Africans to report that there's a lack of visitation here, there's a lack of care, so that we can then attend to that.
Mm.
I would not want to stand here and say that it happens uniformly and excellently across the country. But where it does not happen as it should, we'd invite South Africans to come forward and say, look, there's a gap here where the work is not being done to the way that it, to our satisfaction, and we'd like you to look into it, and we shall certainly look into it.
Okay. And another question. My name is Zipho Zulu from Vryheid. I have a concern about a granny from my area. She resides with three grandchildren, and their father passed away and he left them with his mother. The problem is that these kids are grant recipients, but it's their mothers who collect the grant and they don't give it to the granny, who is the one raising these kids with her pension money. Where can this be reported? I think we do have a voice note as well.
Can I just respond to that
quickly? I'm speaking from experience. Can I live 2 months? Around 2 months, she reported a case ya May while the 83. I went to the police station. Bam potar kidula kai kai kidula mo section in Eustrata Saboraro. A police officer, a woman police officer, by the way. I'm telling Laure, why in Chinese ki report a case you nakele hole, kimba to bamo jarting you basa te by report. Just imagine mo casing a gang elo ya 83 year old. Honale omong wa 80 years. Nebale babedi. Omong o 75 e omong o 80. Basha puwe ke mout. Kamola mu modi kloho. Atwa madi. Ulaba ya spetele abulia case. But case ya teng efe letse kai. Efe letse kai because lare leka ho etsala morao. Efe letse kai lebo onama ponesa bata oble laure. Me o decide lo re case yo e fediswe ho se jwale because ha re ya ho motswadi are batho ba fitlile ba ba re signa mona kwena wa case ite. So all those things ha re di thabele and we will never. That is why now I still believe hore mo ke pelante ha ke na police station. I respect it for the sake of those officers because they are human beings, but we tshwaro ba bone botlhepile, their attitude towards the clients is very bad. Towards the community is very bad. And I will never ever support it. And I try to make sure our elderly are so safe and then their needs are being prioritized. Failing which, I guess, I'm going to go to the police station because an individual who has a moment, who more the police station, Kabakala, Mosebetu Ahai. And Hosinia, Kisiriti, said the police station, and I carried a rebate across Eswana. Yalebo Abatuadibaka fell and trading water, but I'm not happy about the service. Ere Tolang, as Batoba by Bantebe Pete, Yadi Elderly on Akinyonsa. Yalebo were happy.
Major General, I think that was quite a strong voice note there about someone who's been turned away from the police station. And I think if maybe we can get the information of that person, because it sounds like two very serious cases that he's speaking about, and then we'll pass them on to you for you to look into that. Now to you, Batembo, the message that we've received about mothers taking grants and leaving the elderly to take care of the rest.
So the Social Grant Act states very clearly that it is the primary caregiver who ought to be receiving the grant on behalf of the beneficiary. The beneficiary here is the child.
Mm-hmm.
So the primary caregiver then being the grandmother is the person who should be receiving that grant, so that that person can look after that child, because those children live end up being raised by the grandmother.
Okay, so is it illegal, before you go on, is it illegal, maybe to both of you, is it illegal if I leave my child with my mother and then I'm the one receiving the grant? Is that illegal?
It is.
And it
needs to be reported. Mm.
But what would that be? Would it be theft?
Fraud.
Yes. Okay. So go on. You were speaking about grants being taken from
grandmothers.
Yes.
So as I was saying, the first step would be for the grandmother to approach the nearest SASSA office, alert them to the fact that he or she is the primary caregiver of the children, and the file ought to be transferred to her name, away from, you know, the parents, unless if the parent of the child is willing to relocate and come and live inside the house with the grandmother and become a primary caregiver of that child, of that beneficiary. So that is how that should be dealt with. I would encourage, in terms of what the caller was talking about, to encourage the grandmother to approach us and say, look, I'm the primary caregiver of these children, and therefore I ought to be the one who is, they are my beneficiaries. They are her beneficiaries, and she is tasked to look after them with that social grant. The grant is there to look after the beneficiaries and not to ensure that it supports the livelihood of someone, even if that person is unemployed or has no other means of making a living. That is not what the purpose of the grant is for. They're not a beneficiary. The beneficiary lives with the grandmother, and that's who the grant should be benefiting.
And Major General, we're speaking now about people getting turned away from the station. Can you maybe give us insight into what are the steps, if somebody turns me away from the police station, what are the steps that I can take to make sure that that person is disciplined for turning me away? Because I would think that that would be against your code as police officials to turn somebody away who needs help.
Thank you, Neo. All the incidents that are happening at the police station, the frontline service, normally is called the CSC, are being recorded. Everything, all the incidents are recorded. And in instances also where something happened and you were not able to assist the person, you need to write there in that book that this is what happened, so and so came, he or she could not be assisted, and the reasons must be there as to why the person was not assisted. Even sometimes with a GBV, sometimes a person comes and report, and then the person say, I don't want to report. I want to go and reprimand. I don't want to open a case. In terms of the act, we are having also national instruction, standing order procedures, just to strengthen the act and make sure that no one is turned away. You must make a record of that person. Well, these are the rights of the I've given this person his or her rights, and but this person still opted that he or she doesn't want to open a case. Oh. And then that person must sign.
Mm.
Must sign so that as an officer, you also protect yourself, that this person might not come and say, but I said I want to do this. But talking to the attitude of the officers in front of not wanting to assist the people, I already highlighted the protocols in terms of reporting of the attitude or the irregularities when coming to the reporting. Mm. If the police station cannot assist at all, there's a district commissioner in the area who will be responsible for the police stations within that district. That person can be contacted. And the numbers, like I said, they are in the CSC. Mm. And I can promise you, non-compliance is being dealt with internally.
Mm.
There are steps that have been taken, even if you cannot know about them.
Mm.
But when a person comes to say, I was at the police station and I was not helped, someone is being appointed to do investigation from the statement or from the affidavit that you provided that this is what happened, and then investigation is being done, and then there will be recommendations, but there will be consequence management after that, the finalization of the investigation that will come with whatever recommendations after it has been found that the officer or the member was at fault. Mm. So that is, and as a person who complained, you'll also know that, because when there is departmental hearing, you are the complainant. You need to be summoned to come and say, yes, I was at the police station, or this is what happened, or this is the treatment that I received when I went to the police station. But I'm still saying no one must be turned away from any of the police station. No one.
And we have a few more questions again. Greetings, Kokezo from Limpopo. What channels can one follow to open an old age home to avoid incidents that happened at Vutlare Old Age in Limpopo? And then the second one, what can we do about perpetrators being released and continue to abuse elderly again? Our justice system is failing us. That's from Ntla Ntla in Vryheid. And then the third one, my concern is that the protection orders take long to sit down for trial. We will speak about that. Mm-hmm. And then, is there a post-offense care for the elderly? That's a very good question. Mm-hmm. That is a very good question. Mm-hmm. Let's start with you, Major General. Sometimes, I think what the person is trying to say is that sometimes protection orders take long. And then the trial itself takes long to go to court and so forth. I think sometimes we want things to happen very quickly, but sometimes the law works a little bit slower than we'd like. What is your view on that?
As SAPS, our duty is to assist, meaning to give the rights to the victims as and when they come to police station to report the abuse. And we will always refer them to the places where they need to obtain the protection order. It's just unfortunate that we are missing the other leg as the panel.
Yes.
But I agree. Sometimes it happens. I think that is from the role that the Department of Justice is having to handle those. Sometimes you'll feel that this date is too far, but remember, even if the date is still far, there is interim that this person will get.
Mm.
And immediately something happens. That doesn't stop that we must wait for that date that the two parties must go to court. If there is a crime being committed, somebody needs to be arrested.
Mm.
We cannot wait for that date.
Mm.
That date is just to hear the two sides and maybe make a decision for a final protection order, which doesn't expire.
Mm.
So the long dates comes from the backlog of the particular department.
Mm. And I think sometimes we must have the patience to see through, because a lot of the times some of these these cases are so intricate and they're so sensitive that it takes time for the wheels of justice to turn. And I think we shouldn't lose hope when we've opened cases. We shouldn't lose hope because that's what the justice system is. Mm. It's to hear the sides of the story and to take a decision on that. Mm. And we should see it through. But there was a question, Batembu.
Mm-hmm.
Is there post-offense care for the elderly?
Yes, we do. So one of the things that we speak about in the profession around social work is what we call, what is called aftercare. It sounds a bit banal, but essentially, there's two things we try to do, or three things. One, to stabilize and avoid what is called secondary victimization. For the victim, placement of that victim in a place of safety where it's necessary, in this case residential care, and then what is then called aftercare or post-care is when the social workers then work with the victim, ensuring that they are safe, that they are receiving psychosocial support, which means therapeutic and emotional support for the victim, or in this case the elderly person. And ensuring that they are placed back, if it's safe to do so, and conducive to do so, placed back in their home. And if it's not safe or conducive to do so, find an appropriate place where they can be placed and to ensure that their well-being is protected going forward. And so there is post-offense care. And that's one of the courses that we provide.
And there was a question from Koketso in Limpopo. What channels can one follow to open an old age home?
I'm going to make this one simple for the viewers. We've got Section 18 of the Older Persons Act. Section 18 of the Older Persons Act essentially says two things. Well, before we get to Section 18, the first thing you do is you apply to be an NPO, in terms of the NPO Act. Once you've got the certificate as an NPO, in terms of Section 18, you apply to the Ministry of Social Development. To be registered as a residential facility for elderly people, the minister can then through the team that works on older persons protection in the department will then go and see if certain standards are met. If those standards are met, you may be granted temporary registration. Temporary registration means that for a period of 12 months, you are given registration, but that is limited in terms of what you can offer as a service. But it allows you to build up to a full registered service. At the end of the 12 months, the department will then review if you're meeting those norms and standards. And if you do meet them, you can then be granted full registration. The idea behind temporary registration is to allow, because we know from our communities that it's our mothers who start from scratch with nothing to establish these old age homes. And they have to build up over time. You don't want to exclude them and keep them out while they're building up. So you want to give them some level of registration, because that also legalizes them. It validates them and it gives them an opportunity to go and look for resources while they're building up to full registration. But I think to all those who would want to register in an older person's home or a residential facility or a residential care facility for older persons, they can refer to Section 18 of the Older Persons Act. It will assist them. It's very clear there.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And once again, you can report any elderly abuse to them on the MySaps app on your phone. Go to your nearest police station or call 10111 or you can visit any DSD office or call the helpline on 0800 10 11 10. That's 0800 10 11 10. Dear listeners, let us remember that the protection of our older people remains our moral responsibility from us as their children, grandchildren, community members, civil society, and government institutions. We ought to prioritize their safety and well-being. That is the end of our show for tonight. Thank you, listeners, for joining us for this special broadcast brought to you by the GCIS. Thank you to our guests from the Department of Social Development and the South African Police Service. Also, thank you to our technical team, rather, for tonight, Gavin Sadler and Khomotso KG Ranoto. My name is Neo Budumela. Ibe Boroko.